Let's talk about children's video games.
Oh, hell yeah.
So we can feel young again.
I mean, that's my entire rise on that trick. Right there.
Hey guys, this is the Legendary Frogcast. I'm your host, Joseph Blanchett. With me is Dustin Watts.
Ahoy, hoy.
And our Nandy Keepers.
Back to what we were talking about a moment ago. He always opens with that every time for the past, 12 years? No, I'm just kidding. Hi!
we were talking about old episodes of the podcast and stuff. It's been a long time.
Yeah, and both of them were very surprised to hear that I have never listened to a single episode of the podcast, including my own.
Yeah, that's not too unusual.
It's really not. It's really, really not. It's anyway. Hey, Joey.
There are some that I go back to a lot, like the Borderlands one. I listen to that sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
It's just a cool thing.
I go back to is the Lost one.
But anywho. Hey, Joey, why have you gathered these distinguished gentlemen today for this esteemed... they probably read the thumbnail. Never mind.
Yeah, we're here to talk about gaming's most ambitious crossover, Fortnite.
Where
you can play as Batman fighting Thanos. The Predator in Thanos.
Oh, and Universal Studios' interpretation of the Mummy from the classic 1930s film The Mummy.
Oh, not that Dark Universe Mummy.
Nope, homie, it's Boris Karloff, boy.
All right, well, good. Yep.
I would love it if, you know, the Dark Universe Mummy thing has been in the works for years. They're just now getting it out.
They're like, here, guys, we're so sorry about what happened. Here's the actual thing, but for real though, Joey, why are we here?
It's Smash Brothers. It's the Smash Brothers.
Yeah, it's Smash Brothers. It's a good one.
Yeah.
And so
the final DLC came out.
Yes, indeed.
And Smash Ultimate has concluded.
Sakurai can finally rest.
He may rest and the world may end.
Yep. And he could just go to bed. Like, he could just go on vacation, man. He's
earned a vacation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think, like, right after Smash 4 was done, I think they just basically started work on Smash Ultimate.
Yep.
Like, that's what he says. That's why they were able to get everyone back in there.
He's been working on Smash pretty much continuously for, like, I can't even imagine how long he's been working on Smash.
Oh, since he started working on Brawl, I think. Because after Melee came out, there was like 7 years between Brawl and Melee.
Yeah, and I think in between Brawl and 4, like, he made that Kid Icarus game.
Which needs a Switch port.
He was the director of.
Mm-hmm.
Nintendo, you freaking cowards! Make a port up to the Switch of Kid Icarus Uprising, so people can play that without having to grow a third freaking hand.
That is the most passionate I've ever heard you about anything.
I was going to say, that is the literal most passionate I've ever heard you about anything, Dustin, ever.
Seriously, Kid Icarus Uprising is a good game hampered by the world's worst control schemes. Seriously. Like, yeah, I literally injured myself trying to play that game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and didn't that come with a stand because they didn't want people holding their DSs for that long?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, probably,
I mean, that game is supposedly really good.
It is. It's really good. It just needs a port to a system that has a controller that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Switch.
Yes.
Like the Switch. He's right. He's right, you know.
I mean, Nintendo, please, for the love, I know nobody at Nintendo is ever going to listen to this, but I have to put it out there. I know I'm not alone in this fight either.
Yeah, you and the 10 other people, man. You guys are really worked up about this. Just kidding.
Kid Icarus uprising for Smash.
Getting back to Smash.
Yeah, getting back. We keep running away from it because we keep dancing around. So, but we all know.
So when the first Fighter Pass released, we did a review of all the DLC. Our hopes for the future pass. I think by that point it was now considered to be a second Fighter Pass. And so now the second Fighter Pass is done, and Ultimate is concluded, and let's talk about the fighters.
Yeah, I mean, holy crap.
There's so many. There are so many of them, man.
Fighter Pass 2, somehow they actually one up themselves. You know?
Let's see.
Yeah.
I guess let's start from the beginning, I guess, which I believe would be Min Min,
yep, she was the first one. And I feel like I was the only person on the planet who was just really excited about Min Min, because I'm probably one of the 20 people on the planet who still cares about ARMS. And so, like, I was thrilled.
I mean, thrilled. I'll be honest, it looks like a fun game.
Well, it is, but
again, getting back to what I was just saying, no one's played it.
Yeah, and they're like, a lot of people, like, you know what I'm really happy about, what Nintendo did with that one, or what they did to try to prevent things from going out of control, and people's their speculation not spiraling out of control and being crazy and everything like that, was that they announced, they're like, wait, we're going to talk about the new Smash Brothers game, and we're going to let you guys know right away that this is going to be an ARMS character, so that you morons don't think that it's going to be Waluigi or some nonsense like that. Because we know you're going to do it. You're all going to get real upset about these expectations that you have. You smell something baking in the kitchen, and you're like, man, they're making brownies. There's no way they're not making brownies. I want brownies so bad. You guys have no idea how much I want brownies. And then they come out with a pan full of cookies, and everyone gets mad for no reason. It's like, they're handing you cookies. Why are you upset? Anyway, so
I think, yes. that basically sounds like the Smash fandom in a nutshell.
Yeah, like every time they they're about to release a character, there's always like a flavor of the month, per se, that everyone's just convinced, you know, that's what's going to be.
Like, I remember when they were convinced it was going to be a Toho character, and I'm like, are you high? You think the response to Byleth was bad? Imagine what will happen if you put a Toho character in there. You think people
we'll get back gonna... to... You're getting ahead of yourself.
Ooh! Anyway.
I mean, the whole sentiment can be summed up in two words. Who's mad?
Yeah, that's.
I mean,
it was the best ARMS character to get in.
You know, of the characters that they had available, it could have been Min Min. It could have been Ribbon Girl. Either way would have been fine. Min Min, is a fun character to play in ARMS, and she is one of the more mechanically unusual characters. Like, you know how in Smash, if she grabs somebody, her right arm gets big, and then she hits harder with their right arm. That's actually a thing that she does in her home game. And the other thing where she kicks projectiles back to people, or does all that stuff. She also does that in Arms. Like if you throw hands at Min Min and she roundhouse kicks your hands, your guy is like and you do like drag your arms back to your body like this weird shame. It's so funny. So like I'm glad that they were able to implement everything that makes Min Min fun in Arms in Smash. And I also love that she plays basically like an Arms character. Like she is an Arms character in Smash. That's how she is. That's how Arms is played. You play Min Min the way you play Arms.
Yeah, if you're in front of her, like you're gonna get hit by those noodle arms.
Oh yeah, you're gonna get caught. Those hands will be caught.
Yeah, and you won't be happy.
Mm-mm, nope.
You'll be well fed, but you won't be happy.
Especially if she hits you with the kilowatt, the yellow, the big bludgeon yellow hand, where it's that big electric ball. Like, that thing kills such a low percent. It's so fantastic. And, like, Min Min is an edgeguarding monster, too. Like, she can angle her hands, and she can follow up all of her jabs with every other thing. So, like, her range is incredible. She's a gift. She's a gift. I love Min Min. I love her so much.
I didn't really play her much. She's weird.
Well, tonight we'll throw down. We'll throw down in Smash Brothers tonight, Joey. And I'll play Min Min, and you'll beat the crap out of me with your Ganondorf, and then I'll cry about it, and it'll be fun.
I made a promise to my brother-in-law that I have to play more Metroid. So that's what I'm doing tonight after this.
Horrible! Yeah. Okay, that's all right.
Yeah. Cool stage, cool music.
Oh, yeah.
Arms theme is really good.
So good. Arms music is so good. So good. Anyway,
so just thinking about a new Nintendo franchise again. This is why Waluigi was never going to be a DLC character.
Yeah,
because every newcomer, Piranha Plant isn't technically part of the Fighter Pass.
Yeah, they weren't. They
comes
weren't
with comes with unique, a unique stage and unique mm-hmm. music.
Yep,
and all of these were brand new franchises. Not brand new. Pyra and Mithra from Xeno.
Again, we're getting ahead of ourselves.
Brand new game, but you know, has brand new music and setting.
Yeah, yeah.
From a brand new game with brand new music, brand new setting. Well, Luigi's is going to be like, oh, we're on a tennis court.
Yeah, we're on a tennis court and we're listening to Mario Sports music just how you like it, you idiots, you goblins! Anyway, so.
Oh, now who's mad?
I know, seriously.
I think Randy was mad.
Today, when we say Ho's mad, we're saying Randy's mad.
So that's why I never thought Waluigi was never DLC character.
Yeah,
he'd be a summon. You know?
Well, he is.
And he is.
He's an assist trophy.
Yeah.
He gets his a tennis racket at him, goes wah wah wah, and
he stomps on you. Yeah, he stomps on the ground. He stomps on you, and he hits you with a tennis racket because that's what he would do. He would stomp on you. He'd stomp on your tennis racket, and then he would make you feel real stupid.
So this next character was supposed to be Crash Bandicoot, from what I remember, but instead, it's the ultimate cringe character. It's Steve and Alex.
Steve, Alex, Zombie, and Enderman. I have a funny story about this.
I've heard this story before. This is the perfect counterpoint to all these people who say this is cringe.
You've heard the story, yeah, because I think I've mentioned it a million times before, because we talked about this a lot, you know, like last year. So last year, I was seeing somebody, and that somebody had a kid. And so this kid, he was 6 years old, and there's two things he loves more than anything in this world. It's Minecraft and it's werewolves. Those are the two things that this boy is just head over heels for, right?
And we put a Venn diagram 6-year-old in the middle there.
Yeah, the 6-year-old is in the middle of the Venn diagram of werewolves in Minecraft. So, we were sitting in the living room, and his mom was getting ready for work, in the bathroom, and me and him were sitting on the couch watching the Smash reveal, because I'm like, hey, cool, let's see the new thing, because he'd like playing Smash Brothers with me, because I, you know, we usually play co-op, and I don't just beat the crap out of him in video games, anyway. And so it gets to the point where, you know, it's where the reveal happens. And for a split second, my heart, you know, it gets a little crack in it. Like, I'm like, oh, God, Steve, really? But the kid sitting right next to me, I didn't want to accidentally say his name to get him doxxed or anything. Sorry. But the kid sitting next to me, he lit up like a Christmas tree. He was thrilled. He was like, yeah, crap. Cool. And I immediately melted my heart. And I was looking over the kid. I'm like, look, this kid is looking at his Terry Bogard. That was Terry Bogard for me, you know? Like,
again, we'll get to that.
It was impossible. You know, it was this impossible idea where I'm just like, you know what? Yeah, dude. Heck yeah, Minecraft. When that comes out, I will be over here and we will play so much Smash where you can play as Steve, and we can play on the Minecraft level ad nauseum, and because that's what we did. We played the crap out of that level. We played the crap out of Steve, and he had a blast. He had a character that spoke to him. So I can't say anything too critical about Steve. It was unexpected, absolutely, for me. But it was it's so happy. It made me happy to see that someone who wanted a character so badly, or they didn't even know that they wanted that character to be in Smash so badly. But like, here he is. Here's Minecraft being represented.
I think just Minecraft to a lot of like gamers just got overexposed with like how popular it became with Let's Players.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And they just look back on it saying it's just what people play if they want attention and all that. But Minecraft is and still is a phenomenon. My 5-year-old nephew is getting into Minecraft, and the game's over 10 years old now. Like, is it maybe a little bit more? But like, it's the most popular, best-selling game ever made, I think.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's
and this character really shows, like, if Sakurai's going to put Minecraft into Smash Brothers, it's not just going to be Minecraft Steve just with a sword. He does some sword moves. He's going to literally put Minecraft into Smash Brothers.
Yeah, he had to redesign all the levels and how the level geometry interacts with the blocks, like with how that works. And so he had to make it so that the game would interact properly with the blocks and being able to build and craft and everything like that. And so
you can put blocks down, you can put down redstone to make TNT. Timers.
You can ride a minecart.
It's a minecart. The moves are based off different things you can do in Minecraft, but you can literally build stuff. You can build walls, build platforms. Kind of crazy. It's also kind of funny that there's absolutely no music from Minecraft in the game.
Yeah, actual Minecraft proper. It's all the spin-off stuff. Yeah. I love that. So I while he wasn't the character for me, I'm happy he's in so that those because just like that kid, was looking at. There's kids all over the world now who, when they fire up Smash, they main Steve because that's a character they like a lot. There, it's a represents something that means something to them and it's very special to them. And so
I remember having a lot of fun learning his moves and stuff.
Oh yeah,
he is complicated. Yeah, and once I played him again a couple months later, it was like, oh, I forget everything he does.
yeah, because he's such a mechanically unusual character, so it makes sense.
And this was I don't know, his stage is just really cool.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just Minecraft. This just looks like Minecraft, but it was one of those moments in Smash where it was like, I kind of can't believe what I'm looking at. It's Minecraft blocks.
Yeah.
And creepers and Steve. And the last time I felt that really was like Banjo. Like, I couldn't believe I was seeing Banjo-Kazooie.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. Good times. How about you, Dustin? You've been awful quiet in this section.
Steve is Steve. I really don't have an opinion. I mean, I'm happy for the people who like him, but it's like, eh.
I also love it's like, they just put him in. He's 10 polygons big, you know? Mm-hmm. He's just, they didn't change the textures, they didn't change the model. He doesn't bend at the joints, he's just what he is in Minecraft.
He's Steve.
Yep. He's the most faithful recreation of a character to their, you know, source material since
Mr. Game & Watch.
Mr. Game & Watch, yeah. I was about to say that.
So the next character was supposed to be Dante. And everyone thought it was Dante when somebody split the final boss of Ultimate in half. But once that music started to play.
Oh, yeah. Dude. The moment I heard it go, bump, 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 as soon as I heard it, the opening bit for it, I was immediately like, oh, no way. No. No way. There's no way I'm seeing this right now with my own eyes. There's no way.
I mean,
I missed it. I missed Sephiroth being revealed.
I was right there, and it was like, okay. Again, I was like, yes, I'm here for this. I'm 100% here for this. This is... Steve was kind of like, okay, sure, why not? This was like, yes. Yes, feed me this.
I'm the same way. I'm saying that I wasn't there for the
live reveal. Yeah.
And I'm sad. Because, like, I was like, oh, the game rewards are going on. Maybe they'll reveal Smash near the end, but apparently it was the first thing they did.
Well, yeah, it was like the first thing they did.
And I came back to Twitter and I saw people talking about Sephiroth. Like, Sephiroth killed Mario. And I was like, what? What's going on?
Yeah, he stabs at Mario. Yeah, and...
I mean, pretty Mario. Mario got ripped by a bunch of these character reveals.
Yeah,
yeah. So here we are.
Yeah, a big one. Let's talk about Sephiroth because this is kind of a big one.
I was gonna say he is a big, big deal. Yeah, go on, Joe. You start this hype train out, man. Because
well, you talk. I think there's a story behind Sephiroth, why he's in the game, but but go on about Sephiroth's.
Oh, well, like so when Cloud came to Smash all those years ago, and it was this impossible thing. Nobody expected it. Nobody saw it coming. Nobody leaked it. It just showed up and it happened and people lost their minds. But what we ended up getting was like, yeah, we got a level. We got Cloud, no English voices, no,
we got two pieces and two to three pieces of music.
Yeah, yeah. Two or three songs. Yeah. And so we were like, that it's cool, but it's bittersweet. You know, it's really cool that you guys did this for us. Square Enix. We really appreciate you guys, but holy cow, really? That's so weird. But when Square Enix was like, oh, yeah, here, have Cloud again. And Cloud was like, okay, cool. And then we got the Cloud stage back, we got Cloud, we got the same two songs coming in, you know? Yeah. And it was like, well, yeah, it was a lot of the same. You know, they're just moving along and everything like that. And then we got Dragon Quest, the Dragon Quest character, the hero. And that was like a, whoa, Square Enix, this is awful generous of you. This is really unusual for you guys. Like, you gave us a lot of songs. You gave us a lot of representation here. We have four different character models with different voice actors.
I mean, you covered, like, four of the biggest Dragon Quest games, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So, and so, I feel like a lot of that was the groundwork make Sephiroth and eventually the finale of this whole thing
to happen. But we'll get back to this.
We will. But we got way more songs with Sephiroth. And that Square Enix was like, oh, you know, we noticed that you were putting a lot of heroes with their villains when you were making Smash Ultimate. And we kind of want to get in on that action. And so why not add Sephiroth to Cloud to, you know, help out? And it's like, that would just be...
Peachy Keen.
That would be fantastic.
Yes.
And so...
And let's talk about the stage. Not only,
well...
No. Okay. You were saying?
And the stage they gave with it. Okay,
right. Oh, no, I was talking to Joey. I'm sorry.
And not only did we get music, we got arranged music.
Yes.
And all the arrangements are amazing.
Yeah. I mean, and then they're put on this stage that is essentially the end game of Final Fantasy VII as a cinematic that you're riding
through. It's so cool. It's so cool. And not to mention that Sephiroth is really cool, like, to play. He is genuinely fun to play. And he is genuinely cool to play as. Like, he feels the way a villain should feel. It's like playing Ridley. It's like playing Ganondorf. It's like playing Bowser, where you like, look, I'm a bad guy, and I'm going to do real bad things to people. And like, he a lot of his gameplay style is punishing people who are overly defensive. That's his thing. And it's so cool playing him. And he gets special, like his ending screen is completely different from everybody else's. His victory screens are totally different. Because it goes from the, you know how like everybody has that little space in the middle of nowhere that they're doing their victory dance in that they're so happy about? Not Sephiroth. Sephiroth's in hell. And it's cool as hell.
No, he's in Nibelheim.
Yeah, he's
burning down.
He is in burning Nibelheim, but it's cool. You know?
He's destroying Tifa and Cloud's childhood village.
Yep. But
and they just that recreate that. They just recreate that, you know, cutscene for Final Fantasy VII, you know, where he's burning down the town, he walks into the fire.
Yeah. Stuff like that. It's so cool. It's so cool. Like, they did everything so wonderfully for him. Like, they didn't just have to put a really cool villain in. They, like, all they would have had to do was just put him in, you know? But they did all this extra work, all this extra cool stuff that you put in to make it more immersive, more interesting. And, like, the Smash is so good at that. They're so good at that. And I love it. I love them for that, and I love them for what they've done. And Sephiroth is a fantastic addition to the roster. He's tons of fun to play. I play him about as much as I play Terry, actually. So,
and you get him in two different flavors, you know.
Yeah, you do. You get him in his regular jacket and his ladies shirtless version, and I love it.
It made me want like a Final Fantasy Smash Brothers style fighting game, you know?
Oh yeah, like just, make
just start make doing a, this with all the characters, man.
Yeah, like make a platform fighter, like make it a Dissidia spinoff. Make it a Dissidia spinoff with all the properties, like all the care they put into the maps and that, all the care that they put into the music arrangements, all the care they put into the characters and everything like that. And
we did have a fighting game with Final Fantasy characters in it.
I'm being very specific here, Dustin. It's a platform fighter like Smash Brothers. We're not going to talk about Dissidia NT. I am the only person on the planet who still plays that.
Oh, no. Oh, I was going even deeper than that. I was going Ear Guys.
Ear Guys is a treat in and of itself. Speaking of, we were speaking about extra attention to detail, and that Cloud got an update for his final Smash. So he's the only character in the game who doesn't straight up turn into another person that changes their final Smash. because he's the only one who has a completely different animation for it. And that is that when you're playing Advent Children Cloud and you hit somebody with his Final Smash, he does the Omniblade version 5, or not Omniblade, yeah, Omniblade? Omnislash. Omnislash version 5. Yeah, Omnislash version 5 from Advent Children to them, and it's so cool. It's so cool!
Is that only when you're fighting Sephiroth, or is that with everybody?
No, it's with everybody. He'll do it with anybody.
Okay.
He will Omnislash everybody like that. It's incredible.
So yeah, this was almost an apology from Square Enix from what they did with Cloud. Like, how they kind of skimped on him. This was like them going, okay, we'll do this one right, and we'll fix, maybe balance the scales a little bit.
Yeah,
that's why I said there's probably a story behind it. I have a feeling that during development, they probably asked for more Final Fantasy music. They said, make him a DLC, make a character a DLC character, and we can work more with that.
Yeah, for sure.
And I was thinking, too, it's like, Sephiroth is the RPG villain. I mean, there's just no one... You can say you like other villains better than him, he's the one that stood the test of time.
Oh, yeah.
Like, out of all of Final Fantasy, maybe because they keep shoving it down our throats, I guess, but Final Fantasy VII has just remained, just always evergreen, it seems like. They keep updating it enough. Obviously, they have the remake, which was excellent.
Maybe I'll play that someday if they bring it to PC. And
Square Enix. It's like, what other Final Fantasy character would they bring in that would have as much excitement?
Put a pin in that thought. But
I mean, from like another Final Fantasy game, here's Tidus from Final Fantasy X. You know, it's like
it wouldn't the same impact. It wouldn't make the same impact.
I would think like maybe Yuna.
We got Noctis in Tekken 7, and people liked that a lot.
Oh yeah, Lightning's cool, but
You still need to.
They announced Lightning for Smash Brothers. It's like, welcome to 10 years ago.
You know? Oh god, yeah.
It's like we're done with Lightning. It's all about Noctis now.
Yep. But yeah, man.
I was just gonna say, like loving it. I think only one of the only other characters I can think of that really stood the test of time with Final Fantasy is maybe like Yuna, like some of the Final Fantasy X characters. But anyway, that was a cool update.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, it was. It was a great update. I was really happy about it. And then we got Pyra and Mithra.
A dual people character.
People thought it was a Xenoblade DLC trailer.
Oh, well, I mean, it looked like one. Like, they did a really good job.
You know why? Because Monolith Soft actually made the trailer.
Yeah. And I, it was really good.
Usually Sakurai like boards the trailers and stuff, but this one apparently was all Monolith.
I have not had a chance to play Xenoblade Chronicles 2. Mm-hmm. I keep hearing it's really good. Maybe someday I will play it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm in the same boat. I've never played Xenoblade, but that's because I tried playing Xenoblade Chronicles X and I just couldn't really get into it.
I did play the original Xenoblade Chronicles, and that's really good, and people should be playing. Now you can play it on the Switch.
I was going to say, it's on Switch, so...
Well, here's my story time.
Oh, Joe's
got Pyra and Mithra.
All right, late on
this. So, you guys have heard of, like, the Smash effect, where a character gets into Smash Brothers and it gets people interested in the franchise who never played before. This is basically me with a Xenogears or a Blade. Mm-hmm. Like, once Pyra and Mithra were announced, I just saw this outpouring of like Xenoblade fans just come out of the woodwork and just like how much they love this series and stuff, especially the first game. And I was like, and I knew the first game had a cult following, and Dustin said it was really good. But I was like, this definitive edition just came out. Have I been missing one of my favorite games of all time here? So I bought the definitive edition, and yeah, it turns out I was missing one of my favorite games of all time.
I told you for years, man.
But, well, it's like before the definitive edition, I was like, I'm not gonna hunt down a Wii version and all that stuff to play it. It's but I'm just imagining if I have a 3DS. But I was just thinking, it's like, what if I played this during the Wii time? It might have changed my life, you know, when I played it back then. I still don't like playing as Shulk in Smash Brothers. But and then I was like, okay, so I'm playing this. I need to play 2. And apparently, like, the physical run of 2, they're not printing any more copies. And I don't want to just get the digital edition. So thus began my hunt for a physical copy of Xenoblade 2, and eventually found one. I like 2 as well, and it turns out Myron, Pyra, and Mithra are real fun to play as well in Smash.
There you go.
Now that's just what happened. You know what's funny is that kind of an effect happened to me with Fire Emblem Three Houses recently, by the way. That game has recently given me the worst brain rot I've had in a long time about a game. It's like, you really gotta respect Nintendo's ability to, or the, like, Smash's ability to really be a good marketing tool. But anyway, Pyromithra, they seemed really fun. And I haven't played Xenoblade Chronicles yet, because I am just mostly, sometimes those RPGs can take me a while to really get through if I even do start playing them, but
oh, they're long. They're long games.
Yeah, but I'm also patient enough to sit through Fire Emblem. So, you know, I may at some point play it and it'll give me brain rot as well, and then I'll be like, guys, oh my gosh, look at this thing I'm totally into right now. And you guys have been like, oh, we've been telling you about this for years, Randy. We've told you about this for years. Plural. And I'm like, yeah, I know.
So Pyra and Mithra play kind of similarly.
Yeah.
Pyra is a lot slower. Mithra is faster. They have different special moves.
Mm-hmm.
I prefer Pyra over Mithra.
That's because Pyra hits like a bus.
Yeah, she's like more my style with the big hits and all that. Mm-hmm. Pyra has her uses, especially to gather up the damage. You do quick combos and all that stuff, and she's better at recovering. Mm-hmm. She's kind of a... There's really no gimmick with her, except for you can switch between them. She's kind of a... All things considered, kind of a basic character, if you can put her next to Steve or Kazuya and stuff.
Yeah, the more technical...
But she's a... So far, she's my favorite character in the CLC pass. I haven't played with Sora enough. I didn't really care about her when she was announced. Well, I mean, I was kind of indifferent when she was announced. Turns out she's really fun, and it turns out I'm a big fan of the game she's from.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the Smash effect, and as a really good example of it. Mm-hmm. Another reason why this game is a really good thing, because it's introducing these games to people who never would have thought to play them.
Yep.
I'm sure some people looked at Persona 4 or 5 or whatever, like when Joker was announced. It's like, who's this guy in Smash? I mean, that's what happened with Fire Emblem back in Melee. Marth and Roy, there were no Fire Emblem games in the US. And because they were in Melee, people started gaining interest in them.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually their games came to the U.S. And every one of the new characters came to Smash Brothers.
Pretty much.
And I went on a huge rant in our previous podcast about this game, or about the inclusion of Byleth and stuff like that. And we were talking about the large number of characters from the Mario series and the Pokemon characters and all of them, and that having Fire Emblem be up there with the, you know, the franchises that have a lot of representations in it. And you know, Fire Emblem's been around for way longer than even Pokemon has been. So it had, and it had loads and loads of characters, and it was like, yeah, of course they're going to use it to bring people's attention to the new one that's coming out, you know, and that'll get people maybe interested. Like what I said with what happened to me in Three Houses was, you know, I really like playing Byleth, and then I went to try Three Houses, and now I have brain rot for it, so thanks. But yeah, it's that Nintendo effect, you guys. You're absolutely right.
All right. It's... But yeah. So my Pyro and Myth are good characters for a very good game, which everyone should play, with really good music, really interesting stage, and all kinds of good stuff. Good times.
Oh, yes.
Moving on.
Sorry, I had to leave for a second. Sorry, Randy. I was totally indifferent to this character.
Oh.
Emotionless.
So
I was like, okay, I guess, whatever. Feel much for Kazuya in Smash.
Oh.
Kazuya Mishima. I was like, well, I was like, okay, this is interesting. I'm not the biggest fan of the Tekken series. As I said, I'm more Soul Calibur than Tekken, you know?
Yeah.
But
would you say,
I know Randy is into probably more into Tekken than I am.
Oh, I am absolutely into Tekken, and I do like Tekken a lot. Matter of fact, it's one of my favorite games to play, or one of my favorite fighting games to play.
Would you say that out of all the fighting game characters in Smash, he plays most like a fighting game character?
Because I don't know. Terry plays.
The thing is that the kind of fighting game that Tekken is different from the kind of fighting game that Street Fighter and Fatal Fury are.
Yeah,
and so
it feels different when you play as Kazuya.
Yeah, because
like
he
doesn't feel like you're playing a Smash character.
Yes, yeah, you are absolutely correct on that front, because he doesn't play at all like other characters that are in different fighting games. He plays like Kazuya plays like a Mishima. You know, he plays like a Tekken character.
We were just talking about this. So like Steve, the same here. You're not playing a Smash character. They just plopped him from Tekken and put him in Smash.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, Steve and like Min-Min, or Steve like feels like a Smash character.
Mm-hmm.
When you play Kazuya, like, you know, he moves forward when he attacks all the time. He always has that forward momentum going on.
Yeah.
He has a bunch of different abilities ton of commands. Like he can hardly jump and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. He just feels a lot like he feels like a Tekken character. I haven't played Tekken, but he does.
He does, though. He does.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, he's got, what's he here? Five, six different command inputs.
Yeah, and he's still he's a force to be reckoned with, because he is who he is. And he's fantastic. But I was really happy about the inclusion of Kazuya, because, you know, I like Tekken, I like fighting games. I like for people who don't play fighting games to be exposed to fighting games through, you know, through Smash and stuff like that. Because, yeah, it's true. If he didn't resonate with you, Joey, that's all right. You know, there's no shame in that. There's no skin off my back. You know, if it's not part of what you look for in a fighting game, then you know, you just do what you need to do. And I was thrilled, though. I was thrilled about Kazuya, and he plays like a Tekken character. He's a lot of fun.
He has cool music and stage.
He does have cool music, and he does have a good stage.
I mean, Tekken music is Tekken's always had some pretty banging tracks.
Yes. If you listen to... Look, sometimes I just turn my brain off and just put on the Tekken 7 soundtrack just to vibe, man. It's a normal thing for me. I'll send some jams your way sometime, Joey. You'll see what I'm talking about, and you'll.
I mean, I was listening to, you know, when I was playing Kazuya when it came out.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, Randy, is Tekken secretly like the most banger soundtrack ever? You're like, yeah.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's up there. It's so. I guess it
just comes down to. In terms of fighting games, since I'm not a huge fighting game fan, just things I'm familiar with. Like if it was, you know, Fulgore from Killer Instinct or something, or Orchid,
mm-hmm.
I'll be like, oh, I like Killer Instinct, thus I like this fighting game character being in Smash. But since I have no connection to Terry or Kazuya,
mm-hmm.
I'm like, okay, I'm not a huge fan of the fighting game characters
like, in meh. Smash. Meh.
So.
Yeah. But yeah,
for some people,
I really like Kazuya, and I feel like this is kind of like Nintendo or not Nintendo's. It was Namco's tax. It was Namco's tax for help doing supplementary.
It is true.
Development on the game too, because you know, for Smash 4, it was Pac-Man, and then they're like for Smash.
In some bizarre alternate universe, it's you know, it would probably if they had chosen like Soul Calibur instead of Tekken, would we be seeing like, I don't know, like who would I don't know, like Yoshimitsu maybe?
No.
Yoshimitsu
is a sword character.
Also the fact that Yoshimitsu is a Tekken character.
Yeah,
but
off the top of your head.
Off the top of my head, it would probably be either Nightmare or Sophitia. Yeah.
I mean, Nightmare is the logo for Team Soul, so.
Yeah, I was just about to say that.
I was thinking either Nightmare or Cassandra.
No, Dustin, her boobies are too big.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Smash is only for good boys and girls.
I don't know. I mean, we got Pyro and Mithra. I feel like we're bending the rules.
Yeah.
Also, Bayonetta is in the game.
Yeah.
You know, that translation isn't exactly what he said, by the way. That subtitle isn't accurate to what he was saying.
Pyro and Mithra, they did cover up their clothing. So
yeah, that's true.
Censorship.
Oh gosh. Anyway.
But okay. We all knew this was coming. Well, we all wanted this to happen. In our hearts of hearts, we knew this character was going to happen. We dreamed it. We hoped it. And I will say it in here right now and say I was in tears when this reveal happened.
Yeah, Sora tears, but...
from Kingdom Hearts is in Smash Brothers.
Mm-hmm. And
I want you to just ponder that. We live in a world where Sora from Kingdom Hearts is in Smash Brothers.
Well, wrapping this around, we also live in a world where Terry Bogard exists in Smash Brothers as well.
I know.
The thing is that, like, just like how Joey was saying, there was, well, my response wasn't nearly as extreme as what Joey was saying, but, you know, I'd never played a Kingdom Hearts game. I only played the first little bit of the first game, and I kind of realized this isn't for me. I don't really like this very much.
Both me and Joey have played the hit out of Kingdom Hearts games,
and that's the thing, is that he's really important to a lot of people. There are a lot of people who really, 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 really wanted this. And like, regardless of whoever ends up in Smash or whatever happens in Smash and things like that, I honestly just have to drink in the positivity and the happiness that people are having for seeing characters that they've wanted for so long to finally be in Smash, you know?
Sora
is the... He's just the good boy, you know? He's just he radiates positivity. And when he came out of that keyhole that Mario threw, and it caused the light to come back. And like, the orchestrated version of Simple and Clean playing, and just hearing that song brings back 20 years of Kingdom Hearts memories. And, because I'll tell you something, Kingdom Hearts fans, it does something to you.
Yeah.
When you hear that music, you know, people, like, I have ugly cried Simple and Clean once in my life, for sure.
I mean, more than once. I'm not ashamed.
Where it just hits me at the right time, where like Simple and Clean's playing, I'm like, oh my god, Sora just loves everybody. Everyone should love like Sora. And it's just, you know.
Sora's just the goodest boy. I mean, everybody's like, oh man, it's another. Well, it's another anime sword fighter. Y'all were complaining about anime sword fighters all the time. No, we were complaining about the one anime sword fighter we wanted not being there. Mm-hmm. Now he is.
And no one.
Yeah, and, I would have loved to be a fly on the wall for the discussions to bring Sora in Smash.
Oh my god, the amount of legal rigmarole that probably had to go into this is probably legendary.
I mean, probably not much.
You do not get just how protective Disney is of their IP.
I have an objection with that remark.
I mean, Marvel's in Fortnite.
Okay.
You just have to license it out.
No. They are protective of Mickey Mouse.
No, not even. I can see, the thing is, when Smash 4 was out, that was accurate. That's true. That was true when Smash 4 came out, because they were making Disney Infinity. At that time, Disney was like, we are just going to do our own video game stuff. Nobody else can do video game stuff for us because we will do it ourselves. Wow, this is hard. Cancel everything. Hand out licenses. That's what they did.
Yeah, okay, you're right. But you do notice that the only actually Disney-looking thing on Sora, involved with Sora, even near with Sora, is the keychain.
Yep.
There's no Mickey, there's no Donald, there's no Goofy, there's no music from any of the Disney worlds.
The way that Disney licenses their stuff out is that it's a per IP basis. And so in order for them to make those licenses happen, they have to do things individually. So Donald has his own copyright. Goofy has his own copyright. All the Disney songs have their own copyrights. So what they were able to get was to get the mouse logo and Sora. That's what they got. And the Kingdom Hearts original characters.
Yeah. I mean, which I'm fine. That is perfectly fine with me, you know?
Mm-hmm.
If I really want Sora to play with Donald and Goofy, I'll just do co-op with Sora and someone else being Duck Hunt, you know?
Yeah.
That being said, I love that Sora's in Smash. I wish there was a little bit more to some of the stuff that's going on. Like, I think Hollow Bastion is probably kind of the best stage they could have picked from. But, like, all the music is from Kingdom Hearts 1. Mm-hmm. There's no organization theme. There's no Chion or anything from Birth by Sleep or any of those games.
She owns just a sports spirit.
Yeah, they have the spirits. But I just kind of wish there was just a little bit more. But that's just me being greedy, I guess. I mean, Sora's there. Yeah, he has all the bangers from Kingdom Hearts 1 is music.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of wish...
There was one new arrangement, which was the victory theme.
I kind of wish the stage was more of a, like, transporting to other worlds.
Yeah.
Stage, because that would, like, fit with the character a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, this is all nitpicking.
I mean, Hollow Bastion as a stage is, like, super freaking detailed.
Okay, yeah, never mind. Go ahead.
Okay, go ahead. Like...
No,
I'm done. You good.
Yeah, I'm just saying, Sora's in Smash. It was my dream character. If I want more of it, it's just because I love it so much.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was the reason they couldn't release the results for the poll that they did for Smash 4.
Yep. Because basically everybody was asking for it.
I've only had a couple nights to really play as him, but he's a lot of fun. He plays a lot like he does in Kingdom Hearts, where you get a person in the air and do their combos. That's where he's kind of the best at. Nice. And if you were never good at combos in Smash Brothers, Sora is a good learning tool because he just kind of does it automatically for you. And it's easy to catch people in midair and off the stage with them.
Sora can just.
Mm-hmm.
Sora has all the recoveries in the world.
Oh yeah. He doesn't care.
Were we playing the other night? It's like, how did he recover from that? It's like, Sora can just recover from anything, really.
Yeah, I was like, what? How did you survive that? I was upset. Like, I was.
He makes up for being like really light, I guess, but he can recover from the very bottom of the stage, even after doing a down A, your meteor smash, you can still recover from that if you're not too far down. But yep, good character, perfect end to this fighter pass and perfect tail end of Smash Ultimate, really proving that it's like. Kind of, you know, the ultimate version of Smash Brothers.
Should we talk about the Mii Fighter costumes a little bit?
AKA the characters that didn't get in.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, let's see here. I'm just going over here. I mean, we got, like... I'm just kind of looking at the sets real quick from that time period.
Well, they have, like, Shantae, and I was really hoping Shantae would be a character.
Mm-hmm.
Just so she seemed like the perfect fit for, like, the indie, the quote-unquote indie rep, you know?
See, we got, like...
And, you could probably do some cool stuff with their transformations.
Kind of going over what I'm seeing here, they got, like... Well, we got a hint of Kazuya back in the set 6 with the Heihachi, as I said, for Brawler. Mm-hmm. Then there was Marie and Callie from... You got Ninjara from ARMS. Vault Boy.
Yep.
From Fallout. Mm. Okay, cool. Weird. Let's see here. Creeper, Pig, Diamond Armor, Gil... that's from Maze of Gallius. That's a was a deep cut. Bomberman for Brawler and Travis Touchdown. Kind of in Smash.
But we also have Doom Guy.
I know, oh, we got Geno, remember?
We got Tifa. Yeah, we can get Geno and Tifa and Barrett, yeah.
And a Chocobo hat. I mean, at least we got something.
Do you think they tried to get Geno as a fighter in a in this DLC pack or an ultimate?
No.
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 You think they just said, hey, you got your Mii costume, that's kind of all you're going to get?
Yeah. Pretty much. Oh! They had a bunch of Monster Hunter stuff.
Yeah, they do.
And Arthur from the Ghost and Goblins series. Let's see. Oh yeah, they had Lloyd from Tales of Phantasia.
Or Symphonia, but yeah.
Symphonia. Oh, and Dante from the Devil May Cry series. You know.
He actually wasn't there.
You can now see that sticker in your head right now. And yeah, Shantae, and oh yeah, the Dragonborn was also
the Dovahkiin. Yep,
Dovahkiin, mm-hmm. And then you know the Octolings, and then capping it off, Doom Guy.
Yeah,
as far as I'm concerned, Sans.
Oh, I was gonna say we have
Sans and Doom Guy. Like, those are the characters. Doom Guy is just very, very short.
Yeah. I love Manlet. I love Manlet Doomslayer. He's perfect. He is a gift.
I wish it came with a Big Gordon track.
Yeah, with at least BFG Division or Rip and Tear. One of the two, you know? Although, now that I'm thinking about it and saying those things out loud, that it kind of makes sense why we probably didn't.
Yeah.
I mean, what are we going to do? Put a song in a game rated E10 called Super Gore Nest?
Yeah.
Not going to happen, is it?
Here's the thing. There were only two characters got songs bundled with them. Mm-hmm. That was the Sans with Megalovania and Cuphead with Floral Fury.
Mm-hmm.
Actually didn't... Shantae
came with something, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, me and Joey were fighting on a map, and then it was a Shantae song. And Joey was like, oh, hey, Shantae. And I'm like, oh, hey, yeah, you're right.
I was like, oh, hey, where's the lyrics? Did they put the lyrics in?
Of course they didn't. Of course they
did. They do that a lot. They, like, for Bayonetta, they took out all the human vocals and stuff.
But then for the stuff they have in... Fire Emblem Three Houses. They've got two different vocal versions of a song, and I'm like, okay.
So, the next Smash Brothers game, there's no way they do what everyone is hearing again, right?
I mean, I don't think they can.
I don't know. I you know what? We've been saying never for so long for things, and then it never happens.
And then they happen. So
I think we have to learn to say never when it comes to Smash Brothers because of the insane amount of money this game makes. But I don't know if our boy Sakurai is cool, you know, if he wants to do that, you know?
He's done with the series.
Mm-hmm.
I think Smash Brothers, not under Sakurai, probably has a different feel to it.
Mm-hmm.
And who knows if it'd be better or worse or just different. But I want that man to rest.
Yeah, he needs to take a vacation.
Never ask him for anything ever again. Seriously.
Never say never, Dustin. Just kidding.
I mean, do you think to do a Smash Brothers, another Smash Brothers is almost like a reboot. And they, just kind of go back to some of the basics, maybe redesign some older characters and stuff like that, or do you think at this point, if Mario doesn't play like Mario, then it's not Smash Brothers anymore?
I mean, the sky is the limit. There is no telling what the next Smash Brothers will be like, because there's no telling when we're going to get it.
So we're not even going to speculate, I guess.
I mean, there's no, at this point, there's really no need to, we can't speculate. There's nothing to speculate. There's not even a glimmer in the eye at this point. You know? It is way too early to...
All eyes are on Nickelodeon All-Star Brawl.
That game is so much
killer.
Oh, yeah. Let me tell you.
That game, it could have been good. It could have been great.
Well, it plays good, but it just doesn't have any of the... Like, a lot of the reason why we like SpongeBob is not because he's a goofy little sponge man who looks funny when he's doing things. He is a funny person, you know?
But they don't have any voices at all.
Yeah.
It's almost like they were... It's almost like Nickelodeon was too cheap to pay the voice actors to come back for the games.
Yeah, we're not here to talk smack about All-Star Brawl. Obviously, a lot of love and care went into the game. They're probably just hampered by
budget
and things like that. Yeah.
Ludosity knows how to make a Smash game. If you played Slap City, they know what they're doing. Which, by the way, y'all should be playing Slap City. That game unintended. Slaps.
Yeah.
So, just one more Smash thing before we head out. Let's say you could add just one more character to the game. Who do you think missed out on their opportunity to be an ultimate? There's some characters I would want. And it's not even that I'm a big fan of the series, but we have so many hero and villain combos in here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm surprised there was never another Sonic character.
Smash, Eggman.
Since he was introduced.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, I was kind of half expecting Eggman to be in this fighter pass.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I could see that. Eggman would be an interesting character.
Crash Bandicoot?
I was thinking like either Crash Bandicoot or like Spyro the Dragon.
Yeah, until Activision Blizzard gets their crap together, I don't want anything to do with them, but
true enough.
But it's a good pick though. Those are good picks.
Nathan Drake from Uncharted? Because we have, I mean, you don't think Sony would? I mean, Microsoft did with the Minecraft with Steve and Banjo-Kazooie. So,
yeah,
I would rather see Laura Croft sooner than Nathan Drake.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
for me.
So yeah, let's go with Coke and not the store brand.
Yeah, I guess so. And then for me, I guess at this point, the only thing I could ever like ask for that like there isn't some form of representation of this character in the game, you know, through Mii Fighters, through everything. If I had to come up with something that is not in the game at all, even in the slightest, it's a tie for me, and they're both Pokemon picks because at this point, that's all I can think of. You know, everything else I could possibly want is already in Smash. I mean, in some form or another. But I would either want to go with the final evolution for one of the starters for Sword and Shield, Rillaboom, because I love him. Rillaboom's great. They don't have a grass type character that isn't in the Pokemon trainer kit. So a grass type Pokemon would be rad, to me at least. And then it would fit in with the tradition of having third evolutions as starters. And then here's my personal bias pick that is also a Pokemon that won't ever get in, but it's only because it's my favorite Pokemon and it's not anywhere near not anywhere near Smash Brothers, so I want it. But Scalizopod is a big, big old Shredder Samurai looking crustacean Pokemon. Yeah, he's a water type, but you know what? Or water and bug, but he's cool. He's so cool. I love that Pokemon. That's all.
You know what I would love? I would love more Zelda characters.
That would be cool too.
Groot. The Groose is loose.
The Groose.
Yeah, we haven't had a new. Shows up
and yells at you. That's all he does.
Yeah, I mean, we haven't had a new Zelda character since Toon Link, and that's a semi-clone that we had twice already.
Non jokingly, I wouldn't mind seeing Impa or
Yeah, I was during the initial reveals. I was like, Impa seemed so obvious at the time. I don't know why. Maybe because I was playing Hyrule Warriors, and Impa's really cool in that game.
She is.
Impa's pretty cool in I hear she's pretty cool in the second Hyrule Warriors game as well.
Yeah, where she's all young.
Yeah.
Yeah, how cool would you have a Goron or something, or Impa or Skull Kid actually would have been the one that I thought was gonna be in.
Mm-hmm.
Then when it was shown off as a trophy, it was like, oh, I guess not. It's a trophy. Anyway, end of an era. Smash Brothers Ultimate.
And that mural is insane.
Yeah, for sure. It's so big now.
I wonder if someone actually has printed that out and put it up somewhere. Where would you put it?
I mean, it's a banner size, so you'd put it real. It'd have to be kind of smallish, but some people have their whole living room wall to use, and I imagine that's what we'd use. But
I was gonna put it as my desktop wallpaper, and then I realized it was gonna be just a super thin picture on my desktop. All the empty above and below.
I mean, you'd have to
go across two screens.
Yeah, you'd have to go across three screens. That's a three screener.
Yeah, or what you could do is you could cut it up. You can cut it up and then set it so that you're, if you're using a Windows computer, of course, but you can make it so it does put it in a slideshow and it'll just cycle between all those.
There's also Wallpaper Engine. I'm sure someone has got it where it'll just scroll across the mural and then scroll back. And if someone has, and if it hasn't happened, someone needs to get on that.
Yeah, that's true.
So, thank you, Sakurai.
Thank you, Sora. Sakurai.
Got Banjo. Mm-hmm. I mean, I thought when Banjo came out, it was going to be, well, this is the best thing ever. No, it was when Sora came out.
Yep.
I mean, and, we got Cloud, we got Sephiroth, we got Sora. I mean, we've got a Kingdom Hearts 2 reunion here.
Yeah, that never happened in Kingdom Hearts 3. We never had that Sephiroth and Sora showdown.
That's what I've been told.
I mean, you could have a fight with Sephiroth, Sora, Cloud, Joker, and Hero, and have a JRPG off.
Yep. Well, you could put Ness in there too.
Yeah, you could put Ness. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sora's a better boy than Ness.
Yeah. True.
Yeah.
Okay. So, thanks, guys, for chatting with me.
Oh, you bet, Joey. Anytime. I've been doing it for 10 years, more than 10 years, Joey. I don't think I'll stop anytime soon.
Yep.
As long as there's superheroes, as long as there's
fighting games.
Fighting games.
Tokusatsu.
That's true, but Joey doesn't care about Toku.
We're working on it.
I don't know what that is. Sorry.
So Power Rangers.
Oh, yeah.
Well, don't just say it like that. Don't just
Power Rangers, like Godzilla, stuff like that.
I like Godzilla. Godzilla's cool.
Yeah, he is.
Indeed. That's Godzilla and Smash.
Nope. Don't need it.
I did. There was a Shin Godzilla mod for that
Project Brawl M thing. Yeah.
Project M, yeah. That was kind of neat.
Shin Godzilla is kind of a weird.
I like that movie. Anyway,
thanks guys. See you later.
Thank you, Sakurai.
Thank you, Sakurai.
Remember, regardless of warnings, the future doesn't scare
copyright.
Me at all.
We're gonna get DMCA, Joey. No.
Copyright.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.